Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we're back. And Joe, before I forget to tell you, I found those clips, but you're going to probably need those to resend those over to Josh.
Okay, so, will do.
Okay. The other thing is, folks, we're going to go hear a little bit from Dr. Peter Hammond. This guy has quite a story. I mean, you wouldn't believe some of what he lived through. We had him. He was one of our speakers at the UBF conference some years ago, too. And so go ahead and take her away, Ken.
Where my dear friend Dr. Peter Hammond is, it is Tuesday, August the 20th, 2024. And today Peter has a presentation entitled The Real Story of How Without Revival We Will Have Revolution. So let's bring Peter up now. Peter, are you with us?
I'm with you. Yes, Andrew.
Thank you, Peter. And Peter also kindly supplied the show image, which is Revival in America, and I hope you enjoy that. So, Peter, where would you like to start us off today with this very timely topic?
Well, Andrew, I see two kinds of extremes amongst many of our friends and supporters and listeners, and that one extreme is there's no problem. You get people who have their head in the sand like an ostrich, and they just don't want to acknowledge the problem. They don't want to recognize there's any problems at all, and they are somewhat naive about the problem that man is in rebellion to God. And to think that people don't even know if they're Arthur or Martha, and that you've got men trying to enter women's bathrooms and women's sports, and you're getting men getting women's awards, you know, woman of the year for this and that, is all going to men pretending to be women. And, you know, a man getting a gold medal for punching a woman in the face, something that would have been horrific abuse and something that would get you in jail before. And you've got all sorts of insanity going on around the world, as you know. Just recently, you've got the expert that's come out of New Zealand, which Pfizer wanted to suppress for 75 years. They wanted this report on VAERS, on the adverse reactions to the COVID vaccine, so-called, which has shown that the COVID inoculation or injection, this DNA-changing, mRNA-changing inoculation, which was being forced as part of the masquerade madness, lockdown lunacy, salvation by vaccination, COVID cult, from not that long ago, that they found that people with the injection made up more than, 78% of all deaths in New Zealand in the last 3 years. So that's an intriguing acknowledgement that, in fact, the inoculation killed more people than the actual COVID virus. So how strange is that? And there are people who've been warning that. So you can see that they were meant to lie on such a massive scale that we expect politicians to lie. We expect the mass media, the lamestream mass media, to lie. What we didn't expect was doctors and nurses and scientific professionals to, so many of them, go along with us. Now, of course, not all did, and some suffered a lot, and some lost their professorships, some lost their license to be able to practice medicine because they spoke out, like the frontline doctors, against the whole COVID cult madness. And yet there's still people who don't want to admit the problem that we've been lied to and we've been conformed and our freedoms are being taken away, when you don't even have the freedom to decide whether you want to have some foreign unproven substance injected into your bloodstream. It's pretty bad. And, you know, I recently heard the testimony of a woman who was locked up in Australia, literally imprisoned for refusing to take the Fauci Archie or the clot shots, the jab, as some people called it. And how insane is that, that you could have all society corralled like sheep into a panic kind of stampede of under this kind of fear-mongering, panic-mongering, you know, we're all going to die. I remember so clearly 2020, our government saying, hundreds of millions of people are going to die of COVID worldwide. Millions are going to die just in our country of South Africa. And we must have everyone must lock down, and then everyone's got to masquerade up and social distance and, you know, trust the science. Well, while they closed down people who were science. So, for example, in South Africa, our top heart transplant specialist, Dr. Susan Fosloo, she said, that you're more in danger from the COVID vaccine than you are from COVID. And now she is not just our top heart transplant specialist in the country since 1988, but Susan Fosloo was in charge of infectious diseases department at Gradisco Hospital. And yet people were screaming at that time, the same people who said, trust the science, said, you know, what an idiot, what a moron, what does Susan Fosloo know? She should be stripped of her medical degrees. She should never be allowed to practice medicine anymore. Now, this is our top heart surgeon and heart transplant specialist in South Africa in charge of infectious disease department. And she's being accused of being a moron and take away her ability to practice medicine. So trust the science, but don't trust the science when somebody doesn't agree with the narrative of CDC and World Health Organization, what we now call the Wuhan Health Organization, and so on. Not to mention the brainwashing going on in our schools, the insanity going on in our governments, stealing of property and all of that. In South Africa, they call it expropriation without compensation. And, you know, when you've got a government where it's made up of people who sing, kill the Boer, kill the farmer, and bring me my machine gun, and ba, 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 and, you know, kill, you know, and shoot to kill, and dancing around screaming, and you've probably seen some of these videos, you know, you begin to realize you can't trust your government. And, you know, government's lying to you. And when you think of all the lies that have been told about the Ukraine war and all the insanity going on in the Middle East, and those people are trying to get us into a shooting war with Iran, you know, which is probably a nuclear armed nation right now, this kind of insanity where people are just warmongering, let's have a war with China, let's have a war with Russia, let's have a war with Iran. And, you know, does the world really need this? Is this sane? And yet you've got irresponsible members of government in America, in Britain, in France, and other parts of the world too, just happily warmongering and playing the fool where they are literally inviting nuclear war. I mean, was the Second World War with cities being literally incinerated and bombed and flattened, was that not enough? Must we now go to nuclear war? And so when we look at this, we've got some people who don't see the problem. But then on the other extreme, we've got many of our friends and supporters who don't see any hope. And obviously to them, we want to particularly speak that there is hope, but there is no political solution. Those people who believe in salvation by politics, I think, are going to be deeply disillusioned if they haven't already been. Because how many times do we expect this political savior or that political party or this policy or this bill or this president or this prime minister or this candidate or party is going to solve the problem? And yet we get super frustrated. And I think some people in America have come to understand there's a deep state. It's not just the parties, because in fact, the same people seem to control both sides in the different parties. And we've seen this in South Africa where we see the same people, and I can name names here, like George Soros, funding both sides, where you've got, of course, the African National Congress government, ANC in South Africa, who, as I point out to many of our people, the middle letters of cancer is ANC. ANC can stand for abortion, nepotism, and corruption, or abortion necklacing, to describe the brutal necklace murder where they used to burn people alive. Thousands of people were burned alive by the necklace murders. And the ANC could all stand for abortion, necklacing, and communism, because they're all of those things. And yet we find the opposition in our country, the Democratic Alliance in our case, are also funded by Soros, who's given them $1 billion, for goodness sakes. So when you see the same people funding both sides, you begin to realize, wait a minute, there's a deeper state behind the state. And it's not just the state, it's a globalist international cabal. I think we could identify them as Sabbateans. There's an occultic, demonic, pedophile, predatory group that seems to be running our banks, running our international systems, and running our local political parties, along with the media and Hollywood. And those people who see this often get to a point of seeing no hope for the future. And of course, some of our friends and supporters are secular and don't believe in God and don't believe in the spiritual dimension, and therefore are a bit blind to the fact that what we're dealing with is an occultic satanic power, the Sabbatean movement cult behind the globalists who are moving for a new world disorder. And these are the powers that should not be, of course, but they are. So I want to speak to the fact that there is hope, and the hope is revival. We need a spiritual revival. There have been desperately wicked, evil times before, and there have been some amazing initiatives that were taken by people on the ground, which God responded to with supernatural revival sent from heaven, which dramatically changed the moral climate in countries and transformed them. And I think this is something that's so important. Those who have lost hope need to recognize that they can turn to God and we can find revival instead of enduring another revolution. Because the powers that should not be want to have a revolution, everything, where people don't even know if they're Arthur or Martha, and where governments can call. Well, we know that chemotherapy doesn't belong in the same word. Chemo is poison and therapy is meant to be something positive. So chemotherapy is an oxymoron. It's a contradiction in terms. And then they speak about gender-affirming care. Now, gender-affirming care means castrating young, healthy boys and having mastectomies, cutting the breast of young, healthy girls, and they call that gender-affirming care. And thousands of people around the world have suffered these mutilations, genital mutilations, and just hideous. And they all in the name of this transgender insanity movement, which is wrecking society. But obviously, what is the goal of all these people? The goal ultimately behind the New World Disorder in promoting everything from abortions, killing babies, to euthanasia of older people, to sterilization, the homosexual movement, the LGBTQ, and this transgender insanity of literally brainwashing and pressurizing young kids to have life-altering surgery, which they call gender-affirming care. What is the whole goal? The genocide and extinction of the Western European white nations, the Anglo-Saxons, the people who are the 10 tribes, lost tribes of Israel, the people of God, those who've been promoting Christianity, those who've been promoting civilization, who fought against slavery, who've built the cathedrals, the people who have ended the slave trade and intertribal genocide and cannibalism on the far flung islands, who brought education and evangelism and modern medicine, increasing people's life expectancies all throughout the globes, to the darkest jungles of Africa and South America, to Papua New Guinea, to the Pacific Islands. These people must be exterminated. And there are many talking about exterminating the whites. We had Obama's children saying they look forward to the day when there's no more white people on earth. And there have been many professors talking about, you know, the need to bring to extinction all white people, and that this is so obviously a good goal, they can't understand why anyone would oppose it unless they're racist. So, you know, if you don't like that, you have your descendants being exterminated for your line, your race, your people, your nationalities being completely swamped, replaced, and removed, then you're obviously a racist. And when we face this sort of thing, it makes sense that that is what's behind all of this. Why are they so pushing transgenderism everywhere from sports to the classroom? Why they're so pushing abortions and LGBTQ agenda? Because there won't be any next generation if you can swamp the society enough to get this to be acceptable. And part of that goal was, of course, the world wars killed millions of Europeans, which was very helpful for their goals, but it wasn't enough. But by getting them to accept the propaganda of overpopulation and all of this, they were able to bring down the population of Europe and North America and South Africa, of course, and Australia, to manageable levels where they could then swamp them with vast amounts of third world people from non-white nations who could come in, take the jobs, fill the place. We could say, we don't have enough workers. We don't have enough babies being born. Well, of course, they don't have enough babies being born. They've been overtaxing this family so that the mother had to go out and work as well. They needed a second income or they couldn't survive all the taxes they're being hit with. And Germany in particular got to the point where, well, you've got to import these Gastarbeiters, these guest workers from Turkey and so on. And then recently, millions more from the Middle East and from Africa to come in because they've been talking their people into LGBTQ or gay lifestyles or sterilization or gender-affirming care. And we have seen literally the population of the West so brought down that, do you know, in 1910, at the world's first missions conference, the number of white Europeans worldwide was at 34%. Now, it's less than 9%. I think it's under 8% worldwide. So Europeans have gone from being one of the biggest, most influential and powerful politically, militarily, economically, races and groups in the world to being one of the smallest. And it's interesting how they keep talking about affirmative action being needed to help the minorities. Well, right now, whites aren't being a minority. I believe that English people are a minority in London. And so all over the world, you're seeing the white Anglo-Saxon people, the so-called WASPs, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, being diminished and being replaced. And this is called a conspiracy theory, even though there's a lot of evidence and statistics for it. But take my country. When I was born in South Africa, 1960, whites were something like one-third the total population of South Africa. So that's like a microcosm of the world. When there was a time when the world was 34% European.
All right, we are back. And that's an amazing thing. Did you hear what he said, that we're going, that the white population, the percentage is going to be?
Yeah, sure did. What we've been talking about, Europe and this country have been committing suicide.
Yeah, I know. And I mean,
think about it. We've aborted most of our children. We've told the women that it's more important to go to work, have a career, and then they try and get put off having children till late in life, and then often they are incapable of having children, or if they can, they can only have one because of age. You know, the horrible child abuse that's going on, the poverty with the starvation and whatever in this country. Here, the richest nation on earth, they don't talk about the children that are hungry or not getting to doctors. I mean, we take a look, all the behaviors that have been going on, we've been committing suicide as a nation. We watched Europe do it. We're doing the same kind of things, committing suicide here. And what was the answer in Europe? Well, they had to bring somebody in to replace all the people that weren't born, all the people that died. And they brought in foreigners, different religions, different cultures. France has destroyed a lot of its culture. Germany's having the same problem. England has no longer lost its culture, in my opinion. And this idea of American dream and freedom and everything, we've committed suicide as a nation. We've kind of destroyed our whole republic, idea of a republic and freedom. So it's something we've seen, people have talked about for many, many, many years, and it's kind of like nobody believed, ain't going to happen here, won't happen here, right? We're the great America, never happened. Well, it is, it has.
Yep. Let me tell you what's happening in Springfield, Ohio. In Springfield, Ohio, Kamalak and Joe Biden brought in more than 20,000 Haitians. And now they're now living in Springfield. They're going out. They're trying to vote. They brought them in to vote in Ohio because Ohio was red, and they're trying to get Ohio back. But here now, Springfield only has a population of 60,000. So now 25% of the population there is more than 25% is actually Haitians now. And so, you know, what's happening is they're eating the neighbors' cats. That to them, cats are, to these Haitians, are a delicacy.
Yeah, they're taking ducks off of ponds, and right there in plain sight, they're wringing their necks, cutting their heads off, and walking off with a duck dinner. The you know, places where the little kids are feeding other people's children are feeding the ducks. Yeah, it's the society's coming apart at the seams.
I'm looking at a picture here of one of the Haitians. He's killed a Canadian goose, and he's dragging that in to eat. But the people have to watch their animals. Let me just read a little portion of this here. But people are they're hijacking cars. They're intimidating people. They're totally out of control, and the police can't handle them. There's too many of them. He goes on to say here, so the practice of eating a cat is just as old as Haiti itself. Yes, Haitians eat cows, goats, sheep, chickens, pork, but cat meat is a delicacy that many from the countryside simply can't resist. Having a Réveillon without a cat is like celebrating Thanksgiving without a turkey, unless you're a vegetarian. Some Haitians eat cat's meat freely for three reasons, okay? There are no laws designed to prevent people from eating cats. So, there you go. They're carving up the cats. I've been told that they're doing this to dogs. They've been doing it at Snyder Park with ducks and geese. I was told that at last bit by rangers and police. Please keep a close eye on these animals. I'd watch your children. I would watch your children because, you know, Haitians had, a lot of these Haitians dealt with a lot of voodoo. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, a lot of satanic stuff.
They're young men, very violent, and there was a lot of rape, that kind of thing, in Haiti, what they're fleeing. And, again, just like the illegals here, they weren't vetted, and we don't know if we got the poor people trying to escape the violence or if we got a lot of the violent young people. We don't know.
We probably got a very big mixture of both. And
exactly.
That's the problem. We have no idea which ones are which because they weren't properly vetted. Now, there's also a report out of Venezuelan gang reportedly have taken over a hotel in El Paso, Texas now. So now we got Colorado, we got Texas. There was a story about it in Chicago. And it's running rampant, and it's just heating up.
Not only have they taken over a hotel, but armed Venezuelan gangs are terrorizing America's top oil field in Texas. That's right. Violent gangs from Venezuela have made their way into Texas, where they are now targeting critical energy infrastructure in America's top oil field. According to reports, Texas-based oil and gas company issued a memo to its employees notifying them that both local law enforcement and FBI are aware of migrant gangs from both Venezuela and Cuba that are committing thefts and crimes in the permanent basin. Goes on to say, industry peers and law enforcement in West Texas are aware of recent increase in organized criminal activity, violent crime, gang activity, and oil-filled thefts around the WTX operational areas. The memo states these individuals or groups are armed, or they're violent in nature, and will not hesitate to use force. The memo goes on to explain the crimes being committed include theft of oil, diesel fuel, copper wire, and catalytic elements. Recent incidents have also included two assaults by water haulers who were attempting to steal oil from WTX oil field sites. The memo continues, after the thieves were observed by witnesses who drove up to investigate, the thieves attempted to use their vehicles to run the witnesses off the road. Another incident, a thief acting as a spotter following a water hauler who had stolen oil also attempted to run a witness off the road. There are numerous reports of second vehicle acting as spotters for water haulers. So it goes on, long article telling you all the different ways that all these millions, 20 million illegals that Joe Obama Biden brought in to vote communistic, to vote for communists. How many children have they killed off? Just think about all of the children that they've murdered, they've killed off, and human sex trafficking. They've killed it off with their drugs.
And that's child labor. Yeah, there's another big story out there. Older woman who's older husband that's in bad health. She's been testifying on TV. She's been forced out of her home that they've lived after 45 years because the migrants are squatting on her lawn. She can't get rid of them. The police won't move them. They live constantly in fear. The drugs and violence right in her front yard. They're intimidated. And she said they're trying to camp out in her yard. She's tried to make concessions, but you can't deal with these people. She's tried to do everything so they wouldn't squat there. She said it's unsafe. I have men that can't speak English in my front yard screaming at me, throwing mattresses, throwing trash, And she's talking about, I weigh 95 pounds. I couldn't defend myself if I wanted to. So her and her husband are leaving. They're going to pack up and just leave. Can't sell the house or anything. But we just see, we did a couple of shows where we talked about some of these violent gangs are now taking over the local gangs. They're running the drug trade. They're now in every major city in the United States. And one of the articles said they're in every state in the union. We have, again, this is insanity. We have planted the seeds of our own destruction. In a sense, it's like committing suicide, letting all these violent criminals, insane people, we knew they were emptying the prisons in South America, sending them here. We did those stories. We keep doing, as a country, our government, our leaders have been doing the dumbest things to get what? To get votes, to stay in power. And they don't care if they destroy the entire nation as long as they stay in power. And there was two things I want to do real quick to back that up. Kamala Harris, she had an ally, this Kelly Robinson spoke at the DNC convention. She's a human rights campaign president. She says, we need to reimagine democracy beyond the founding fathers, beyond the piece of paper, the Constitution, just a piece of paper. We have to reimagine democracy for people who look and love like us. She's a lesbian. She's talking about LGBTQ communities. And she talks about how they have to reimagine freedom and everything. And this, we have to have a dramatic shift and build power for the LGBT community and other minorities. I'm quoting. We, you know, talk about we have to reimagine what the new democracy will look like. And I think for us right now, it's about reimagining freedom, you know, very differently, our type of freedom for our people, our kind of love, you know, on and on. That's just one. Then Harris has a new campaign hire that attacks America as a cult. Karen Jean-Pierre, Russia's, she hired as director of her campaign a woman who has attacked white Christians, claimed that America is an imperialistic cult, we're a bloodthirsty beast. The progressive, get this, you'll love it, Progressive Reverend Jennifer Butler. That's her title, Progressive Reverend, which is wrong. Jennifer Butler argues that white supremacists have hijacked the Christian faith. She runs a program to root out white nationalism from Christianity. We face fundamental threats to democracy, said this Presbyterian minister. And the wealthy are overwhelmingly white. Well, there's an awful lot of rich black people out there, but they don't count that. And they're systematically, and they're disadvantaging people of color. And she's calling us the many-headed beasts of corruption. These are Christians. We're a many-headed beast in an imperialist society of Christians. We're the fault. And it goes on and on like this. These are the kind of people in this Kamala Harris's circle in the government. This is a full-blown revolution. They're bringing in all these radicals. Why? Because we are living a communist revolution, and people still haven't seen it, Pastor Ernie, still don't believe it. And I think some are finally waking up. It's getting scary out there because it's now coming home to people in their local neighborhoods or communities, and they're seeing the destruction of America. They're living it. And that's why we've been telling people this could be the last real election in this country. If we don't get this right, it may be the last free election, or close to a free election we ever have.
It might not be an election, because the chatter has it, and we have not been able to verify this, although some are saying it I'm trying to think of the fellow who was working with Trump. One of his advisors, and I'm trying. He's got a kind of a like an Indian name.
Vivek.
Talking about Vivek Ramaswamy.
No, there's another one.
Oh, the other guy. Yeah. Oh, I know who. I can't think of the name right now.
Well, anyhow, he's been saying that there it's been decided they're going to try to just insert, you know, retired old Joe, pull him out and insert Kamala.
That she's going to be president before the election.
Yeah, that she'll be president. That's what they're saying. He's saying
it's Kash Patel.
Kash Patel.
He was the former. My memory's working. He was the Department of Defense Chief of Staff. He was also Deputy Director of National Intelligence. And there's an article out, World News Daily, Jim Hoff, also Gateway Pundit. And he's got a new book out anyway, The Deep State, The Truth, The Battle for Our Democracy. And he's saying that that's what's going to happen. Basically, you got it in a nutshell. They're going to, Biden will be incapable of finishing, and they'll get Kamala in there, so she'll have the power of the presidency just before the, like a few weeks or whatever before the election. And he's saying this is what they have planned.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to be a Faustian bargain that for him to do this, she's got a promise that she'll pardon him and all his family, and that's going to be the big trade-off so that no Biden goes to jail. And she gets to be president, and that will help her campaign and all kinds of things. So,
yeah, but see, Biden
that's
knows.
That's not a rumor. He's been out, and he's saying this publicly now.
Okay, so here's the thing. What Biden better know, and that is that these people remember, if she can betray him, to us betrayal is something that, it's repulsive to us, but not to them.
Right. And we've seen it many times. They eat their own, we call it. Right.
Well, and if she can betray him, then within that collective, that adds to her stock within the Democratic Communist Party. And so if she can throw him under the bus and say, oh, Joe, and throw him to the Republicans and let him end up in his last years in prison, they wouldn't put him there because of his age. But
that'll be her last big hurrah on the campaign trail.
Yeah.
If this were to go down the way that we're speculating, she ends up throwing him in prison saying, see, no one is above the law, and that she's going after the convicted felon Trump. And that's
right.
That
will give her status in the world. That's the danger. You just
I am bipartisan. Right, see?
No. Yeah.
Yeah. She is wicked as wicked as it can be.
Well, look, Sanders just threw her under the bus. He came out and said, well, she hasn't really changed. She's abandoning her positions in order to win the elections, what he basically said,
Yeah.
He was asked about her, change her Marcus policy for the election. And he pretty much, came out and said she's doing it to win the election. I don't think she's abandoning her ideas. I think she's trying to be pragmatic, quote, and doing what she thinks is right in order to win the election. So in other words, say anything you want. The end justifies the means. So say and be anything you want, need to be to win, and then you can govern as your true self. She said, I haven't changed my basic, principles?
Well, first of all the things she's flopped on, all of the things that she's flopped on, all of them, the border wall, she's flopped on that. The illegal immigrants, she's flopped on that. Taxes.
Fracking,
she's flopped on that. The taxing, taxing tips and that. Mm-hmm. So all those things, she could have done that for the last 3.5 years. She could have done that. But she didn't do any of it, did she?
No, but there are two things. She came out and they've said on the last campaign, this one, she never takes lobbyist money. But now they found out, a couple of good, Robert Schmad for the Daily Caller found out, yeah, she does. Here's a lie. They found out dozens of lobbyists have contributed to her campaign since she took over from Joe Biden. And analysis of the Federal Election Commission FEC records show there was a deluge of cash from the New York Times. After the New York Times and Political reported that she was continuing Biden's policy of not taking direct contributions from individual lobbyists, but the lobbyists have been pouring money into her campaign on behalf of a wild range of industries, from tech to marijuana, and it includes tobacco and vaping giant Altria, marijuana interest group, Apple, Dow Chemical Company, several others. They didn't give the names. They just listed there were many others. So she's had pledges she wouldn't take the cash, but she's doing it. And she took it from $100,000 from D.L. Piper, Venable, DC&G, and others during her 2020 and broke her promise back then. So it goes, these people, lying is a part of life. And it's what they do. They say one thing, they do another. And even her husband, you know, Doug Emhoff, was a previous partner at D.L. Piper. Oh, one of the firms that she's taken lobbyist money for, from her husband's own firm.
See, her values have not changed.
Right. Have not changed.
Yeah. She actually told the truth.
Before, she still is, right?
Yes.
Right. All righty, so here... you know, again, the Trump camp dismantles Kamala Harris's campaign policy, page dubbed. Okay, so here's a good article that talks about the Trump campaign today, dismantled Kamala Harris's campaign policy, page dubbed, A New Way Forward, released in the dead of the night. Kamala has what is a very generously being described as a policy page. On her website, the Trump camp said she says her plan is a new way forward, but she's been in the White House for 4 years and it's been a total disaster, they said. Kamala finally has what is very generously being described as policy. Now,
here was the title page read like this. The New Way Forward has four sections. Build an opportunity economic and lower costs for families. Safeguard our fundamental freedoms. Ensure safety and justice for all. And keep America safe, secure, and prosperous. She's also a plagiarist, and she's combining progressive theory with Trump's ideas. So she's taking the best of both and putting them together, but without the details to back it up what it means. So somebody reading this, she's going to make economic opportunity for us poor workers. She's going to lower costs for my family. She's going to keep my freedom safe. She's going to make sure that everybody has justice, and America's going to be safe, secure, and make America prosperous again, right? Okay.
Remember, under her policies, electricity is up 32%, car insurance up 54%, groceries are up 22%, rent is up 22%. This is what she's done already, okay?
Baby food, 30%. You know, beef is up about 28% something, chicken 24%. Did you say eggs? They're only 47%.
She is the only politician.
There's 38, electricity somewhere around 32 to 35, depends on where you live. It's just a wonderful world out there, right?
She is the only politician in the history of politics to actually run on change from herself.
Yeah, you're right.
What are we doing here?
There's a cartoon out there where there's two Kamalas talking, And they say she's debating herself. One says, I'm in favor of banning fracking. And the other, I will not ban fracking. One said, abolish ICE. The other, Kamala says, increase funding for border enforcement. A border wall is a complete waste of taxpayer money. I'll build that wall. I'm calling for an electrical vehicle mandate. I do not support an electric vehicle mandate. Defund the police. Yay, police. We want to make everybody safe and secure. I can't believe this stuff. If I had written this in a novel, sent this to a publisher that this would be a candidate for president, they'd send it back to me and say, nobody in their right mind would believe your premise for a story. They would stop reading it after the first page and, you know, say you're nuts and wouldn't publish the book.
I mean, it sounds like a bad Saturday Night Live skit.
Even it would be a bad one that nobody would want to see.
Well, since, you know, GDAT has some accomplishments. She, under her regime, she was able to bring in 32.4 tons of fentanyl have come across their border, enough to kill 14.7 billion people.
Clap, you're right. That's a great accomplishment.
Yeah,
right?
Global market, huh?
Yeah. And so that's one of her big, big accomplishments. And then, of course, she wants to give free health care to all these illegal aliens.
But not our vets.
Right. Yeah. And so far, the Biden-Harris, have doled out hundreds of millions. It's actually billions of dollars now to communities to deal with the illegal immigrants. They've been giving them medical care, shelter, food, clothing, phones, transportation, all kinds of things. I mean, we're talking now, if they put it all together all across the country, it's close to, it's in the billions. They're really not sure how much because we can't get the figures because money has come from Department of Homeland Security, FEMA, different organizations, and the government has different grants and different programs. They awarded $780 million through an SPP, Emergency Food and Shelter Program, on and on and on with all these 32 different government agencies. And when only a small, percent report what they've spent, we can just guess at how bad it was. But I want to bring up one big thing. The lies this person tells, like right there on her new website that they finally put up today, right? One of the big sections starts off, the contrast with her campaign contrasts with Trump. And she ties him to the far-right Project 2025 agenda. Now, we've done this story a couple times in this program. The Heritage Foundation wrote this Project 2025 agenda as a possible idea for future things for conservatives to try. Trump has never claimed it, never said he's going to promote it, never said he is part of his campaign. He has been totally separate from it. But every time I look at something, Trump is pushing the Project 2025 agenda. It's a lie. He's never even recommended it. Never. He just said, no, I'm not doing that. In fact, he's denied it. There's no connection with him anywhere on it. But they just keep telling the lie long enough and loud enough, and enough people will believe it to make a difference. That's what's going on.
Absolutely. Also, you got to give her credit for she claimed that she wanted to cut taxes for the middle class, except for the problem of it is, she was the deciding vote on hiring 87,000 IRS agents. And guess who they're going after? Yes, 70% of the people that are being audited are people that are middle class, not those
you're
rich
right.
people, not the rich people.
No, not the
said.
Donors.
Yeah.
No, nope. Not the donors.
Yep, but again, it seems
and
like...
You've got to remember, she also said she's going to make sure that the Trump tax cuts are not are stopped. So that means all those people that had an increase in income, their livelihood got better, everything, all those people, if you get rid of the Trump tax cuts, they're going to have a huge tax increase, and that includes everybody that pays any income tax at all.
And that's on top of the inflation that we're dealing
with. Oh, hey, I heard this. This is perfect. I got to do this. I almost forgot. This inflation, what people can't understand is, okay, I'm going to say I've been gaining weight. I have gained weight over the past 3.5 years. I've gained 80 pounds. But, oh, wonder of wonders, I've slowed my rate of gain down to 3.5-4%. I'm only gaining weight at 3%, 3.5 instead of 9.
So you must be losing weight now.
No, I'm still gaining weight. I'm not skinny. I'm not going to get skinny until that's a negative. Instead of only a 3.5% gain of weight, I've got to have a 3.5-4% loss of weight, and I'm still fat, right? Even if I lost that much this month, I'm still way overweight by about 70 pounds. I'm still fat. And this is what they try and say, oh, we've got this under control. We've got the inflation down to only 3.5%, 4%. But they forgot all those pounds you put on are still there, and you are still gaining just at a slower rate. And I wish more people would use that for an example. I've been telling people around here that, and all of a sudden they went, wow, I can finally understand what's going on. That example seemed to really hit everybody because everybody has trouble gaining weight, losing weight. The older you get, you know, the snacks, the church dinners and all the desserts. And but it seems to be something that really helps people understand this inflation problem. So people take that, use it to explain that to your neighbors about this inflation. So when Kamala gets out there, inflation's down, we're getting it down, it's only 3%, 3.5%. It's still a big lie because she's still fat. It's still growing and getting bigger, right?
Right. Well, how much time do we have, Ken?
About 6.5 minutes.
Okay, Joe, you got 6.5 minutes to get her done.
Oh, are we almost at that time of night? Wow.
Yeah.
Flying by.
Flying by, you got it. All right. One of the hymns sang recently really hit home with me. I love the hymns because they're basically poetry put to music, but they're scriptural. That old hymn by, Charlotte Elliott, I think, Just As I Am. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, blind sight, riches, healing of the mind, fighting tears within, without, I blew that line. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou will receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. There's only one way to get to heaven, folks, and to get to God, you have to go, the Father said, you have to go through the Son to get to him. You have to go to the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that what? Takest away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God that went to the cross at Calvary to pay your sin debt, because the Father said the wages of sin is death, or death. And at the only, you know, in the Old Testament, they had to shed blood for the temporary remission of sin continually over and over, but that was only temporary. When you die in your sin. So Christ came for somebody who is poor and wretched, somebody that's conflicted, somebody that's lost, we live in darkness because we live, we've had a sinful life, but we're cleansed by what? The blood of the Lamb. By Jesus shed blood on that cross, we've been, in a sense, washed by the blood of the Lamb. Our sins have been covered. He paid our sin debt for us. But it's not just a totally, it's a free gift, but we have to do something to receive his gift of mercy. We have to call upon the Father and with a repentant heart confess our sins, tell him we're sorry for our sins. More explicitly, tell him we're sorry that our sins placed his son on that cross, because Jesus would have gone to the cross for just one sinner. But he went there for all who would accept him. And if we do that from a truly repentant position with God, our sins will be forgiven. Then we can ask Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us, we can ask him to be Lord of our life. Then we can ask him to, we give ourselves to you, Lord, willingly, without hesitation, without any reservation. We've got to make Jesus first place in our life. And if we're willing to do that, we will be accepted with open arms. Jesus will bring us in by giving us the down payment on everlasting life, which is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. We become our own high priest. We then have a personal relationship with God himself. Jesus said, I'm in the Father in me, and I am in you, the born-again believer. So we have a personal relationship with Jesus, not a religion, a real relationship. We then become a son or daughter of the living God. We become a child of the kingdom, a joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life. And just remember those wonderful words in Matthew 26:28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.
1 minute, Joe, 1 minute. 1 minute.
It's so important that our sins are forgiven. Our sin debt is paid in full, but we have to accept that marvelous offer. We can't get to heaven any other way. I don't care how well you live. Even you say, oh, I don't sin, Pastor. Yes, you do, because we all sin by omission. God has given us many things he's told us we should do. He wants us to do. He's ordered us to do. We have not done them. So even if you've been perfect, you have left undone all those things, and you have sinned. You need to decide where you want to spend eternity, either heaven or hell. There is no other choice. This is how God made it. Life or death, blessings or cursings, it's your choice. You have to make it.
And when is the acceptable day to do that?
Right now is the acceptable day.
All righty. Okay. We're up against the clock as we come to this time. We want to thank all you folks out there for being with us, listening. Thank you for your support. Thank you, Lord, for your folks, for your prayers and your letters. And remember, good night. God bless.
Good night, all.
And always, let's do it. Ready? Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.